one verse. It's a verse that Sarah's read already. Now, Jesus had been preaching in parables and explaining them to his disciples, and then we pick up the story in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. If we could have the PowerPoint up, thanks. That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." So I want to talk about the other side. Well, first of all, where are we in the world? I'm not sure if this clicker's working, Keith. So there we go. So we're in Israel. Jerusalem's down here, and Nazareth, where Jesus was brought up, is about 65 miles to the north, so about the same distance from here to Heathrow, that kind of distance. And our story takes place around this little blue dot, the Sea of Galilee, which is not, of course, a sea. It's a lake on the River Jordan. Click on, please, Keith. Oh, no, back one. Oh, this is not going well at all. Have I got control here? Have you got control? Right, I've got control now. Right, there's supposed to be a build in this. Wait one. We might get there. We had the same problem with Sarah's slide. The system's not doing a build for us. Let's see if this works. There we go. Okay, so we've zoomed in a little bit. And here we are on the Sea of Galilee. And in the north, you can see Capernaum. It's really small. But Capernaum's just around there where the mouse is wiggling about. And the other side is down here. The eastern side of the lake, and we'll come on to that in the reading. If you were stood in Capernaum, and you were looking out to the sort of east-ish, that's what you'd see. That's a picture taken from the shores of Capernaum. Nice spot. So, our verse of the year, Isaiah 43:19. Says, "See, I am doing a new thing." And I think Jesus going across to the other side was a bit of a new thing in Mark. He's not just going to the other side. It's not new because he hasn't been there before. It's a bit more than just a new location. Now, Jesus did a lot of new things. Jesus coming was new. His very first miracle, water to wine, was a new thing, using ceremonial water jars from very religious kind of background to become a celebration that the bridegroom is here. So there's a new covenant. But all the way through Mark so far, the Gospel of Mark, we've heard about a new teaching. Teaching in the synagogues, but in a different way that people noticed, with authority. And then out into the towns and out into the hillsides and lake shores. And he spoke to a new audience. He went from the religious setting to the common people and then to the rejects and the outcasts. And that was new. And then in Mark chapter 4, verse 35, he goes to the other side. And that's to not just the other side of the lake, but a new people. To the Gentiles. From Jewish areas on the western side of the lake to mixed but predominantly non-Jewish peoples on the east. All this new stuff says that Jesus isn't just another prophet, not just a good man. This new promise, the new radical teaching, broadening the message from God's chosen people to the whole world, that's really new. That's really different. Let's read about what happened when they got to the other side. So here's the other side. I'm going to show you a little bit about it first. So the area we're looking at is round about here. This is where most people seem to think the area of our story happened. And sorry, wrong way. And if I can make it work, here's a little view of the hillsides. So when you hear about pigs running down a hill, that's kind of what we got in mind. So they went across to the region of Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the stones, among the tombs, and in the hills he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send him out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. So the first thing to note is that Jesus went to the other side. He didn't demand that people on the other side came across to Capernaum as his sort of home base. He went out there. And then the second thing to note is that Jesus, as God, could have designed the situation so that when he got to the other side, he was met by friendly, open, outgoing people going about their daily business. But as if to make the point really obvious that this was a new thing, that he was reaching out to everyone, he was met, not by accident, by someone with unclean spirits, who lived in tombs, an unclean place, near a field of pigs, unclean animals, for which it was forbidden for Jews to keep or eat. The point is really clear. God has come to earth, all of it, not just a little bit of it. Every place, every person, every situation. Not just the religious and the respectable and the routine. Yes to those, but also to everyone else. Even you and me. Gerard Kelly wrote, "Where once the righteous bathed in splendid isolation, unworthy thieves dive deep to drink salvation's joy." But Jesus doesn't just turn up with a message. He turns up with power, power to change, power to defeat what's getting between us and God, power to break what's holding us back. And the song we just sang had a brilliant explanation of that. And Jesus cares about one human being more than thousands of animals or money or public perceptions or society's idea of normal and acceptable. Jesus deliberately went out of his way and into this situation for one person. After the passage we're reading today, Jesus gets back into the boat and goes to the other side. So it's really clear this was a deliberate thing to go out of his way and do this thing and then go back. The Bible says that the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Now Rachel spoke 3 or so weeks ago about that phrase, the Son of Man. But I want to focus on he seeks. He actively, deliberately goes after, seeking into dark corners, under things, moving obstacles to find, and then he saves. He doesn't just reassure or give a gentle nudge in a slightly different direction. He saves. If you're in drowning water, saving isn't directions to shore. Saving is coming out of the water, out of the situation. And for the man in the Gerasenes, saving was a complete change. So if part one was the other side, part two is what happened next. So we'll pick up the reading again in verse 14. Mark chapter 5, verse 14. "Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell the people in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. So let's talk about the reactions. Just for context, in today's market, I looked this up, 2,000 pigs, maybe about halfway or so towards their weight for slaughter, would cost about £250,000. That's a lot of pig. That's a lot of money. So we can understand that the herders responsible were really concerned that they were going to get in some serious trouble. And you can understand that their owners would be really angry at some serious financial loss. But verse 15 doesn't say that the people who went out to see Jesus were angry. It says they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Now, if he was still screaming and unchainable and cutting himself, you could understand their fear. But why, when he's sitting there dressed and in his right mind, are they afraid? Are they afraid of this unknown power? Are they afraid of more financial loss? Are they afraid that they might be challenged to change in a similar way to that man? Are they afraid of an upset to the status quo? These are all reasonable human fears. For those who are obviously in really tragic circumstances and in desperate need of a way out, an encounter with Jesus might be something they search for and run at. But for many living their day-to-day lives who feel they're pretty ordinary, this Jesus thing, this Christianity, this God-bothering, what is this unknown, unproven power? What will it cost me? Will I have to change? I think we still see those fears today when people are confronted by Jesus. And the people here push Jesus away. And maybe people who push Jesus away think maybe they'll call on God when things get really bad. But let's return to the man who Jesus healed. He wanted to go with Jesus. It's great being in the presence of God and with his people. That's where we want to be, but Christ sent him out. He said, "Go and explain the prophecies and theology of the Messiah and God's new covenant for the whole world." Well, no, he didn't. He said, "Go home and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." Verse 20 says, "So the man went away and began to tell in the area how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed." So they went from afraid to amazed, not through more miraculous acts, but through one man saying what God had done for him. Now, of course, this tells us something about witness in the Christian life and about transformation, but I missed a bit of the passage. Now, it's a bit that Sarah's already read about the storm. It happens in the middle of that other side bit. It's between the decision to go to the other side and then arriving on the other side. That picture's from Rembrandt of the storm. That's his interpretation of it. This strikes me as another new thing. So far in Mark's gospel, Jesus' miracles have been generally about healing, initially healing people. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke are all the same. All the early miracles focus on healing people of their mental, physical, and spiritual illnesses. But the calming of the storm is different in character. Just like Jesus' first miracle, water into wine, is different in character. The calming of the storm isn't saving from internal problems or forgiving sin. Here, it's saving from external dangers, situations in the wider environment. And maybe because it's new and different, it's worth stopping to think about what it means and maybe why it happened at this point in the story. Now, on the surface, this is about Jesus' control over nature as a sign that he is God. That's powerful in itself. Sometimes I hear people talking about things in the Bible and wondering how to make the story work with their scientific understanding of things, as if God is bound by the laws of nature. He wrote them, he controls them. But there's another level in this story where it's about the metaphorical storms of life, and that's what we picked up on already in our service. Troubles that come our way, health struggles, financial, family situations. But I think part of this, at least, was to demonstrate God's power for his glory. But I wonder if it was also because the disciples doubted or questioned in their minds why Jesus was going to the other side. Because that bit about the decision to go to the other side happened first and then the storm happened. And I wonder, were they afraid of going to the other side? Did they think that maybe they shouldn't be going to the other side to those people when there was so much need on their side? So was the storm a test of their faith, or was it designed to reassure them, to say that things will get tough, but Jesus will be with you? Was it a memory they could carry forward with them of a time when things were tough and Jesus responded to their plea for help with power? And of course, Jesus demonstrates powerfully that when we are out of our comfort zone, when we think we're drowning, when we're powerless to help ourselves, he would be there in our boat, ready for us to ask him to save us. And on that mission, on getting to the other side, whatever the other side is in our context, when we trust Jesus, he will bring all things into his control and bring us safe to shore. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, and picked verses from throughout chapter 4, "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart." It's through God's mercy that he gives us a ministry, a mission. "Therefore, whatever troubles, we don't lose heart." That's what Paul's saying here. "Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." It might be a bit of a stretch, but I think the first few chapters of Mark's gospel are almost a parallel of God's work with mankind. Maybe the parables and the healing are a bit like the time of the prophets, the teaching, the power. Maybe the journey to the other side is like Christ's ministry on earth, with all its storms and supernatural power and wonder. And then maybe Jesus ridding the Gentile man of evil is like Christ's death to defeat all sin forever. And maybe Christ's return to the other side of the lake, leaving the healed man to spread the word, is like our mission here on earth. Amen. We're going to sing a closing song. As the band come up, this is a song of praise. It's a song about how Christ defeats our fears, defeats our sin. And the final verse, just like our passage today, where the storm was on the way to a mission, this song ends with a call to mission. So let's praise the Lord.